Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy for Today. My name is Heather, and today we're going to be reading March 23rd reading. Yes, folks, it is going to be the Israelites cross the Jordan River. So we're already into Joshua, you guys. And so what an exciting time this is to be reading through the Bible, especially with everything going on in the world today. We got the solar eclipse, everything that goes along with that. Kind of unusual that they are deploying the National Guard for that. They're telling people not to let their pets outside. They're closing schools in Texas and so much around that. But that is not for this episode of the podcast. But that is just a little teaser for what we'll be talking about later. So we've had crazy weather here in Texas. It is freezing cold this morning. Snowflakes. We had mud rain yesterday with winds blowing at 65 miles per hour. We have wind gusts. Texas, that's, you know, we get a lot of crazy wind like that here in Amarillo. We are like the windiest city in America. So everybody thinks it's Chicago, but it's actually Amarillo, Texas. But anyway, so much going on. I wanted to jump on before we start today's reading and just let everybody know, if you have not watched J.D. Farag's Prophecy Update, you need to take the time to either watch that today or listen to it. That is extremely important. And I'm so thankful I was able to watch that yesterday. I didn't get to watch it live, but I got to watch it after the fact. So go to J.D., which is James Dean Farag, F as in Frank, A as in Alpha, R-A-G as in George, .org. And you guys will be able to watch that. You can download his app, or you can go to the website there and watch it. But don't try to watch it on YouTube or anything like that, because he always cuts those short. Starts there, goes to the website. So save yourself some time and just go straight to his website and watch that. But anyway, let's jump into the Word of God this morning, okay? And so may the Lord God bless the reading of His Word today. I've got my coffee. I hope you guys have your coffee or beverage of choice, wherever you may be. So let's go ahead and get started. So the Israelites crossed the Jordan. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelites' officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, "Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river." And so they carried out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there." So Joshua told the Israelites, "Come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall." So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up in a great distance, backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Memorials to the Jordan crossing, Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the Ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across.' These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever." So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at that place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. The priests who were carrying the Ark stood in the middle of the river until all the Lord's commands that Moses had given to Joshua were carried out. Meanwhile, the people hurried across the riverbed, and when everyone was safely on the other side, the priests crossed over with the Ark of the Lord as the people watched. The armed warriors from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh led the Israelites across the Jordan. Just as Moses had directed, these armed men, about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle, and the Lord was with them as they crossed over the plains of Jericho. That day, the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites, and for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. The Lord had said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the riverbed." So Joshua gave the command. As soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up out of the riverbed and their feet were on high ground, the river of the Jordan returned and overflowed its banks as before. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. They camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before our eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever." When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. Israel reestablishes covenant ceremonies. Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. At that time, the Lord told Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the second generation of Israelites." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. So those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years of the wilderness had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died, for they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt." So that place has been called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal in the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. The Lord's commander confronts Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this time, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. The fall of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 27. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town." So Joshua called together the priests and said, "Take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn." Then he gave orders to the people, "March around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord." After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the ark with the priests continually blowing the horns. "Do not shout, do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the 2nd day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed. As an offering to the Lord, only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury." When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the 2 spies, "Keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house and bring her out along with all her family." The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burned this town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua invoked this curse. May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. In the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation spread throughout the land. Folks, I hope you're enjoying this trip through the Bible. I hope it's been a blessing to you, because it sure has been a blessing to me. And one note here, my pastor just preached on, he's doing a virtual tour through Israel. And he's been to Israel many times, and he's got such great stories and such great insight, you know, because I'll never get to go to Israel because I'm terrified to fly. But, you know, one day I will. I'll get to go to Jerusalem when the Lord comes back. And so that's one time I'll get to go and see Jerusalem. But until then, I get to see it virtually. But he did a virtual tour, and we did one on Jericho, and it did cost. They did rebuild Jericho, and I cannot remember who it was, but it did cost him his firstborn. So that's a little side note there for you guys. So anyway, thanks y'all so much for listening. It is such a blessing. And it's just such a good thing to start the morning off with the Word of God and to close in the evening with the Word of God. So it's just such a blessing. And as always, get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Oh, he's coming soon, you guys. He is coming soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. I hope you guys are excited about that. I hope you're encouraged about that. Because boy, howdy, there are some very dark days around us right now. So many things are happening, and these elitists, you know, they think they have the plan. They think they've got all this planned, right? It's going on according to their plan. Well, God is sovereign. Our God knows the end from the beginning. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He knows everything. He sees everything. Trust me, nothing's going to get by our Heavenly Father, our mighty, awesome God. And what a wonderful thing that is. My pastor had actually preached on that this Sunday. You know, we go through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations. We go through a lot of suffering. And he preached on it's Bethany. So it's the resurrection of Lazarus, death and resurrection of Lazarus. If you guys can go to YouTube, it's New Hope Fellowship at River Road. That's our YouTube channel. And you guys can go there and watch that. It was phenomenal. It was a great preaching. And it had a lot to do with a lot of us and of you who suffer. You know, some of us suffer daily with things that people have no idea about, you know, and they could never understand. And trust me, I understand. You know, we all have things that we struggle with and suffer with. And so, but you know, it's all to glorify God. And so he taught on that this Sunday, you know, because Mary and Martha, you know, and Lazarus were great friends. Just the shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept. You know, because he felt such, you know, groaning in his spirit. And there's a Greek word for that, which I'm not going to try to pronounce, but it's in the YouTube video if you want to watch. Or you can go to our website too, New Hope Fellowship River Road. It's New Hope Fellowship RR.org. And you guys can check it out there as well. But it talks about, you know, how Lord Jesus, knowing moments later he was going to resurrect Lazarus, but still, you know, he had deep groaning and even anger, and so over sin, and because, you know, the wages of death is sin. But anyway, it's a great message if you guys want to go and listen to it. I needed to hear it yesterday, and I know some of the other folks who struggle and suffer probably could, you know, use it as well too. So with that, guys, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that today is the day of your salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I wouldn't wait another moment. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. If you've committed one sin in your entire life, which we all have, multitude of them, then you've sinned and you've fallen short of a holy, righteous God. And death is the punishment. The wages of sin is death. And so we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. And so Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And so with that, guys, I pray that today is a day that you cry out to Lord Jesus and ask him to save you, ask him to forgive you, repent of your sins, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus today. It's, you know, people think it's like, oh, I just said this little prayer when I was, you know, whatever, and everything's great, and I can live like hell. No, then you're not truly saved, my friend. Salvation is a cost. It's a cost. So with that, guys, I am going to get out of here. So get in the Word of God, let the Word of God get into you. And as always, we pray, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But until then, we are to do what God has called us to do. So run your race, folks, as the Apostle Paul said. All right, guys, thank y'all so much for listening. May God bless each and every one of you. May he give us boldness to continue preaching righteousness and truth and telling people the gospel. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.